Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. What's happening?
Not a lot. Excited that we finally picked up a victory against a team that's below 500.
Right.
That's a good thing to get. So I'm curious. I wanted to ask you about this, Brett. Texas this year has struggled like a lot of the league to just kind of hover around 500. Texas this year has a winning record against these teams that are above 500 currently. They're a few games over 500. They have played really poorly against teams that are below 500, like significantly below. I think at home this year now, they're 6-12 or 7-12, something like that, against teams that are currently below 500. What does it say to you about a team, their makeup, their DNA, whatever it may be, when they do play up to better competition and they struggle against some of the worst teams in the league?
Well, I think in a normal season, I think you'd say, wow, that's really peculiar why that is. This isn't a normal season. I'm watching this American League. This is the most mediocre league I've ever seen. I don't remember the last time. You mentioned under 500, over 500. How many teams are over 500? And if so, it's by like by a half game. So I think I've kind of, you know, with a couple exceptions, I think Baltimore and Kansas City and L.A. have kind of distinguished themselves as not just below 500, way below. But everybody else, it's like just throw them into the mix as they're all the same. You know, there's no team to me really standing out. Maybe Tampa Bay, the Yankees early on, but the Yankees have lost like 11 of 12.
They just struck out again.
Only 34 times in the last 2 days, Choppy. And it's like the Toronto ball club that I watched a year ago in the postseason that had that magic and were one game away from beating the Dodgers and winning the World Series. They don't look anything like that team of a year ago with a similar roster. So I look at all these teams. The White Sox, that's the biggest story for me. You know, a year ago with Texas going into Chicago, that's like, well, we're going to win a series here. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, they're atop the division in the Central. And I look at this West, and it's like, who's going to make a move here? You know, we all thought Seattle was the class of the division, and on paper they are. But they win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. Good for Texas, because Texas is hanging in there, only a half game out now. The thing that scares me, because I thought they were dead and buried in this run of, you know, over the kind of the last decade, Houston's had kind of a stronghold on this division. They were dead and buried at the end of April. I said, finally, their run's over. You know, all of a sudden, because of the mediocrity of not only the division, but the league, Houston snuck its way back and they're two games out. So I think this is going to be a real interesting race, especially in the West. And I think it's going to go down to the wire.
We're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Brett's the host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
All right. So you mentioned the American League, and I'm totally with you. It is so mediocre, and I cannot remember a year it's been like this. Seager has been, you know, off and on injured, and now the back, and he hasn't even swung a bat in over a week. They really can't make a decision on what they are until they know what he is going to be for the rest of the year, I assume, and what they're going to do. How do you do that as an organization with 3 weeks to go before the deadline? How do you manage that?
Well, I think you just got to let it play out, and you know, hopefully you get him back in the next couple of weeks to find out where you're at. In the meantime, as players on you know, in that clubhouse, you can't worry about it. You just got to go out and win games and find a way. You know, I think there's been some great stories. I think the Foscue thing coming up and being able to contribute the way he did, and not only doing very well against lefties, but coming up with some huge home runs, some huge hits, and some big situations. I think the Lopez kid, I think beyond expectations, what they expected there, he's really been filled in and done a great job. Duran continues to get big hits, where a year ago he had a really tough time, and he's doing great. So you have guys kind of hold and serve why the big boys have kind of been out in Seager, and I mean why it was starting to get hot, and all of a sudden he's down again. So the fact that they're still hanging in there at this stage, losing Leiter probably for the year, you know, that was a huge blow for them. Gore has not pitched the way they expected Gore to pitch to this stage, but with all that being said, the fact that they're sitting there right now hovering right around 500, only a half game out of the division. I think today, if the season ended, they'd be in the wild card. So I think they're in pretty darn good shape for everything that's gone on. And I think they just got to let it play out. You know, I say all the time, this is the time of year when you're about 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, where as players in that clubhouse, you get together and go, let's make them make a decision to go buy instead of sell.
Right.
That's our goal as players. You know, and that's something we can control. If we go out and lose a bunch of games, all of a sudden they're going to be we're going to be subtracting from our team, and it's going to be 2 months of kind of not that much fun. But if we go out in the next 3 weeks, make it a point, prove to the front office, you know, and last year we did it again. Doesn't mean you're always right. You know, we faltered a little bit late in the season. But as players, as a coaching staff, man, you don't care about that. You just want to put yourself into position to make the front office make a tough decision and go out and add instead of subtract. I think right now they're in a good position to do that. Time will tell. The next 3 weeks, this is critical time.
We mentioned earlier this week, last week, I cannot remember a time, because it did. The city seems to have turned on Corey a little bit. And he's a hero here, right? I mean, he's going to get, I think he's going to get, I think he's probably going to get a statue with that home run, right? You deliver a World Series, you get a statue. That's how it works. But they've turned. Can you remember a player, a fan base turning on a player that they really liked in your history of the teams you were on, where it was just like, this guy went from a beloved, can do no wrong, to, okay, it's the tides are turning a little bit.
Well, I think everything is temporary, especially in our society. People love winners. People love to win. I think we've seen it throughout history where you're down and out, and the fans turn on you. If Corey gets this back situation, back to normal, gets back in the lineup, starts producing, and helps get these guys into the postseason and making a run, I think all will be forgotten. So right now, it doesn't seem very good. Seems pretty dismal with all he's done, being the MVP of the World Series in 23. But I think this is a temporary thing that only one person can control, and that's Corey. And that's by getting back on the field and playing the way he's capable of playing. So I don't think it's a long-term thing. I think fans are fickle. I think they get frustrated. I don't think in their heart of hearts they hate Corey Seager. But the sentiment has changed right now because of him not being able to stay on the field right now. And none of us know what's really going on. Obviously, something's bothering him, something that the organization and himself need to take some time to rectify. But knowing Corey is very soft-spoken, he doesn't say much. All he needs to do is kind of get this thing right, get back on the field, help this team win, help get them into the postseason, and I think this will be a footnote. We won't even be talking about it.
Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone joining us here on 105 through the Fan. Brett, the Rangers did get Jacob Latz as their all-star. He has been on a dominant run since basically, I mean, he's had a good run the last couple years, but really since the start of last September, he has been almost unhittable. You were around him a little bit last year. You've watched him this year, I'm sure. What makes him as dominant a late inning guy as he's proven to be? Because it's not like people are looking at him like, wow, it's 100 miles coming out of his hand. What is it that makes him so dominant?
He's deceptive. He's I think that his number one quality is his demeanor. He's mentally tougher than his years at this level. And I watched it last year. He was asked to start games. He was asked to be long relief. He would come in high leverage situations. And I watched the way Jacob Lats thrived in those moments. And I thought, this guy's got to be a part of this in some capacity. I was pulling for him coming out of spring training to be in the rotation. And I thought he was going to be in the rotation. And I thought, how can you ignore Lats? I love Lats. I loved everything about him. He's got a something special where things don't affect him. You know, most of us young players, we come to the big leagues. The moments, sometimes, especially when we're young, early in our career, the moment gets bigger for those guys. Watching Lats a year ago with the lack of experience that he had at this level, I thought, nothing bothers this guy. He just goes out and pitches the game. Doesn't matter if he needs to start on Tuesday or come in the third inning on Tuesday or come in the eighth inning on Tuesday. He just kind of, whatever you need me, guys. And he seems unaffected. That's something you can't teach. That's something you're born with. I love that way about him, and to see him thriving and going to the All-Star game as a closer, man, I'm happy for him, and he's doing such a great job.
Booney, I don't know if you've paid attention, but Paul Skeens' velocity has dropped every month basically for the last 2 years. Is there a concern? Is that something you would worry about?
No, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, Paul Skeens jumps on the scene. He's the next this, and he's the next, and he's still what a great pitcher he is. But when you have a little adversity, when you have a few games where you're not the Skeens that we expect you to be, the 1.8 ERA, people are going to look for everything. Yeah, his velocity's down. It could be midseason. It's just he's kind of in the dog days right now, and it's like, yeah, I'm a little tired. My velocity's going to be down. We could be talking about a completely different thing in 2 months. So now I don't really worry about stuff like that. I played in an era where the gun was far from everything. You know, it started to be a thing where you like to light the radar gun up, but now every single pitch is so scrutinized. Well, he's only throwing 96 today. When it's really, it doesn't matter. It's still, and I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what any analytical data point says. You got to locate the baseball. Guys can, it doesn't matter how hard you throw. You keep it in the middle of the plate. These kids, they can hit anything. If you keep it on the corners, you don't. But I think he's going to be scrutinized when things don't go perfect and when he's not ultra dominant. But I think that's part of your big league journey and a part of, this is probably the first tiny bit of adversity he's had. And I think he'll get through it and his velocity will probably be right back where it's been for the bulk of his career. I think right now, though, we'll look to anything to kind of say, why is he not, you know, no, it's maybe he's not locating like he was. Maybe it's been a couple years now. He's getting around the league a little bit. And hitters, I like to give the hitters credit sometimes. It's not the brand new Paul Skeens. It's like, I've seen him a few times. I got a little better of an approach off him now. So I think there's a lot of variables. But in a day and age where everything's done by the radar gun, I think we get a little bit too heavy into that.
Brett, on that Skeens topic a little bit, or a side topic, I guess, this is something we had talked about a couple months ago, and it blew us all away. It's hard to believe on this stat. If you take the top 20 pitchers of all time, the leaders in strikeouts in their first 25 career appearances, none of the top 20 ever made the Hall of Fame. None of them. For the career leaders in strikeouts in their first 10 appearances. And it's a lot of guys who ended up injury plagued. Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Dwight Gooden's on there. He obviously had a lot of other issues. Yu Darvish, Matt Harvey, Paul Skeens is on there now, and Jacob Mizorowski is on there. How much is pitcher burnout from these big phenoms who are throwing so hard? How much of that is a concern to you in today's day and age of just these pitchers who are coming up throwing the ball as hard as they can, and they're not going to eventually be able to keep doing that because they burn their arm out?
I think that's this is what the time is. Mm-hmm. It's about throw it as hard as you can, as long as you can, and then we'll get another pitcher to fill in. I think, you know, you go into the season and you have five starting spots, and now all of a sudden you have to have eight or nine starting pitchers to fill those spots. In past baseball history, it's like you got five quality starters, let's go. Now it's like, no, we need eight because we know three are going to go down at some point. I think that's just a I think it starts at a younger age with our kids today. I think it starts in their youth when they're 12 and 13 years old and these travel ball and the overexposure to a young arm. I think that's where it starts. I think that's why you're seeing all the Tommy John surgeries. It doesn't because it starts when they get into professional baseball. It's when they're 13 and 14 years old and then go through the college ranks. And I think the data is starting to bear that out. It's like there's too much wear and tear on a young arm. And when they get to pro level and the big league level, you're having Tommy John surgeries when these guys are 23, 24 years old. That never used to happen. But, you know, as far as if this is the way it's going to be, the money they're paying these guys to do that, to be recognized in today's game, it's all about velocity. So it's like, okay, I know what they're paying for. I've got to give them what they're paying for. It's like OPS. Versus when I played, when it was average homers, ribbies, that's what I trained for. I had to be on the field to drive in 100 because that's how I got paid. Nowadays, you don't have to be on the field to drive in 100. You just have to have an 800 OPS. So that's what the guys train for. I cannot. That's what I would do. If it was all about OPS and that's how we got paid, that's how I got the big contract. That's all I'd be worried about is controlling the zone, hitting the ball over the fence and walking a lot, you know, because that's what they paid for. Not about driving in 130, which in our day, that's what paid the bills. So I can't get on the pitchers, how they train, how they try to go for ultimate velocity, because that's what gets attention. That's what gets you drafted. That's what gets you paid.
Hey, tell your brother to start upping the fines for strikeouts. That's brutal. Holy cow.
Ooh. See, this is a time where I probably won't have a conversation with him for a few more days. I'm going to let him get a few more wins under his belt.
There you go. Thank you, Brett. We appreciate you.
You got it. Thanks, guys.